Julie Harris is currently a postdoctoral fellow in the Robert Wood Johnson's Health and Society Scholars Program at the University of California at San Francisco and the University of California at Berkeley. Julie received her PhD from the University of Washington in the Department of Public Health Genetics. She also holds an MPH from the University of North Carolina of Public Health in the Department of Health and Behavior, Health Behavior and Health Education. Julie's research spans several areas, including exploring the impact of cancer genomics information on screening and prevention behaviors, and using theory-based approaches to understand provider health system adoption and of cancer genomic technologies. Additionally, she is developing interventions for increasing the appropriate translation of research knowledge and research technology into clinical and public health practice.
Thank you. So today I'm going to present some highlights from a study I conducted investigating communication about family health history in a low-income primary care context. And I have no relationships or conflicts of interest to report. So the evidence implicating family health history as a risk factor in numerous different common chronic conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, and cancer is considerable. And while the mechanisms underlying this association are not always clear, the knowledge of one's family history really gives us vital information about that person's risk of developing a condition. And though it's not a specific genetic test, it has often been referred to really as the best genetic tool and the most common genetic tool that we currently have at our disposal. And, you know, family health history really provides important information that informs screening, particularly around cancer, and also prevention and treatment decision making. And one area where family health history is often collected is in the primary care context. And primary care is a vital context for disseminating and using this information for three main reasons. The first is that, as we all know, primary care practitioners tend to be the gatekeepers for other screening, treatment, and referral services. And they're often the only person that people, that's sometimes the only contact people have with the medical care system. So if communication about family health history doesn't occur in this context, it's unlikely that this information will ever get used to inform treatment or screening recommendations. And second, we know from a wealth of literature within the field of behavior change, particularly around tobacco use and mammography, that a personalized recommendation from one's doctor is quite influential in getting that person to engage in the behavior. So if prevention recommendations emerge from communicating about family health history, a doctor's recommendation really is truly important to bringing that to action. And third and finally, communication about family health history is also thought to activate other types of communication, which are important. For example, collecting a family health history could really serve to improve rapport as it provides greater entree for the physician into the patient's life. And it also could provide the physician with insight into other important details, since a family health history is not just about genetics, but we learn about other behavioral, environmental, and shared risk factors, and that could help to improve patient care. So given the importance and potential of family health history in the primary care context, what is the current knowledge base around how family health history is communicated? And so while the evidence is growing in this area, there are still several gaps. First, there are mixed results regarding how frequently family health history is discussed in primary care. So there are several studies, particularly around physician self-report or chart reviews, that have shown very high rates of collecting family history. And these range from anywhere between 63 to 100% in some studies. However, in an observational study by Medellin colleagues, they found much lower rates, around between 22 to 50%, when they actually went in and observed how often physicians were communicating about family health history. So additionally, there have been a few studies that examined what was collected and how it was discussed, but these are sort of few and far between, and additionally how it was used. And this point was really highlighted in the recent systematic literature review from the AHRQ and the recent NIH consensus conference statement on family history that just concluded we still need more evidence, really, regarding how to best assess and use this in the primary care context. So finally, there are no studies, to my knowledge, that have examined the extent to which family health history is occurring in lower-income primary care settings. And it's important to note that most of the previous research has been conducted in clinics where patients tend to see the same primary care physician for an average of about 5 years, and that's not quite the same context that we have in a low-income urban setting around primary care. So the primary objectives of this study were first to examine how often family health history was being discussed in this primary care context. And the second was to identify the content or what was discussed and the process or how it was discussed, as well as why the family health discussions were occurring and what some of the outcomes of those discussions were, which in this case, when I say outcome, I'm referring to whether the primary care physician provided a recommendation around screening, treatment, or behavior. So the setting for this study is really a single primary care clinic in downtown Detroit, and the unit of analysis was primary care visits. Just to give you a bit of background, the clinic is a primary site for a family medicine residency program, so many of the physicians that were videotaped in the study were second or third year residents. And these visits were videotaped as part of another ongoing study conducted by investigators at Wayne State University and Kermanos Cancer Institute. So eligibility to be enrolled was that you were an existing patient in the practice and that you agreed to be videotaped. And just to be clear, being an existing patient does not mean that you were necessarily seeing the same doctor. It just means that you had been seen at that practice sometime in the past 15 years when they had charts available. So in my study, I reviewed 90 videotaped primary care visits to identify those visits that contained a family health history discussion. And then we then used those particular family health history discussions to go in and perform a more intensive content analysis to more thoroughly analyze what was taking place and what was being discussed during those encounters. So we collected, sociodemographics were collected from doctors and patients via self-administered questionnaire, and then observations were collected from watching the videotapes, and those included appointment length, time with physician, length of the family history discussion, and I'm going to refer to that as an FHD, so sorry if that gets confusing, but that's what FHD are, family history discussion within the primary care visit. So then after identifying, so the other observational measures were, we used a structured code book by two trained coders to identify the different pieces that we were looking for around content, context, and recommendations. And there was a high degree of reliability between the coders. So characteristics, as you can see, is there a pointer? No. As you can see, this is primarily an African American population, and it's fairly low income. More than 60% are making less than $40,000 a year, their annual income, and nearly half had more than a high school degree, so about half having a high school degree or less. And the physicians, as you can see, most of them were third-year residents, and the majority of them attended a medical school outside of the U.S., and this is fairly typical for an urban primary care context, particularly around family medicine training programs. And half of the physicians did discuss family history during their visit, one of the visits that they were recorded for. So now to get at my first objective, which was to look at the frequency of family history discussions, 20 different visits out of the 90 altogether that we reviewed had at least one discussion of family health history, so at least one FHD. So that's 22% of all the visits that were reviewed. And you could have more, many of them had more than one discussion of family history at some point throughout the entire visit, so we recorded every time a family history discussion occurred. So that's why there were a total of 31. And the average time for each of these particular discussions was about 40 seconds, so it was fairly brief. And if you look at the bottom, one interesting thing of this table is that there was a difference of about 5 minutes between those who did discuss family history and those who did not discuss family history, with visits where family history was discussed being 5 minutes longer than those in which it wasn't discussed. And this was just statistically significant difference between the two. So now getting into our second objective, looking at more of the detail about what was going on in the family history discussions, there were a number of different conditions that were discussed, 24 to be exact, and they ranged from mental health, common chronic diseases, to infectious and rare disorders. And cancer, diabetes, and heart disease were really the most frequent, and they came up in 35% of all the family history discussions. Breast cancer and asthma also came up numerous times, as you can see. And there were also several types of information, so we wanted to code for the type of information that was provided to see, to get really at what the doctors were telling the patients about in these family history discussions. And in fact, some type of information was provided in this context 60% of in 60% of all family history discussions. The most common type was simply just verifying or correcting the patient about their family history, so making sure that the doctor understood what the family history was of, and something really more like a simple correction or verification. But interestingly, doctors often, about half of the time, discussed personal risk information with patients. So as part of this family history discussion, they were also talking to the patient about their personal risk of disease. And screening was also discussed to a lesser degree, particularly cancer screening, and emotional reactions, and also the patient's beliefs about where the disease originated were also discussed during these family history encounters. And finally, our outcomes, which we interpret as physician recommendations. Overall, the few recommendations were provided during these family history discussions, 9 in total. The most frequent were around cancer screening, so mammography, self-breast exams, and colonoscopies. There were also some recommendations around different treatments to try based on the person's family history, and then communicating. Well, one physician recommended that his patient communicate with other family members. And then also receiving counseling for some psychosocial reactions that one of the patients was having to sort of a strong inherited risk. There were no recommendations around diet or exercise. So in conclusion, the family history discussions in this context were fairly brief and infrequent, so only 22% of the time and 40 seconds. And while these rates are very different from the self-reported physician self-report and the chart reviews, they're actually pretty similar to that observational study conducted by Medley and colleagues, where they found that that family history was communicated in 22% of the visits for returning patients. However, the structure of our returning patients differed greatly from those in that particular study. They had been with their physician for a mean of 6 years, and the patients in our study, which is really a particular challenge for low-income clinics, tended to see different doctors every single time they came, particularly given this high turnover rate with the family medicine residency training. So it definitely points to some different challenges that we have to think of when trying to intervene around family history in this context. So the physician may not be aware of the previous family history, and particularly if documentation in the chart is either unclear or difficult to access. So another key finding was that family history visits took longer, and this could have been due to differences in the visit type. So we did not have information on the reason that the patient came into the visit that day. And it could be that those who were not discussing family history also were coming in for acute treatment, and it was just a quicker appointment. And the people who were coming in and did discuss family history were having a more involved discussion with their physician about other things. However, one hypothesis is also that it could have sort of increased the level of rapport and communication that the physician and patient were having. So there was a 5-minute difference, and that's quite a lot of time where risk counseling could have been provided, and we know that personal risk information was being communicated. So it's possible that the reason that those visits took longer was because this actually sort of activated other types of communication within the primary care practice. So another interesting thing to think about is that personal risk information was given in half of these family history discussions, but it really wasn't tied to a recommendation, since very few recommendations were were really given out or tied directly to risk. So it seems that family health history, one possibility is that it's being used to educate but not really motivate. And that's really a key important thing to think about in terms of trying to take this informational tool and make it into an action that could have some sort of population health impact. So I think one key implication is of these conclusions is that we really need future research that's triangulating some of these observational and self-reports so we can figure out not only how much is being collected, but whether we're using it, and also whether it's activating any type of behavior change or engaging in any type of screening or prevention behaviors. So this also points to the need for additional primary care training and tools, particularly around improving this translation of risk into a recommendation, so primary care physicians can more quickly get from the risk information to a particular recommendation. And then also integrating risk information. So one point I couldn't present here was that there was a lot of communication, sort of the context of these family history discussions were really came up around risk factors, so discussion of other risk factors. And I think integrating family history and coming up with better tools to integrate it in with other risk factors and really engage with that naturally occurring communication context is an important thing to think about. And then additionally, we really need continued research on sort of system level changes. So there are a lot of barriers for the primary care docs for discussing this material in this particular context. People are in and out and they don't have long-term relationships, and it is often a very quick encounter. So we need to think about how we can use technology, particularly electronic health medical records, and then and other things that are occurring within this context and staff that we could use to deliver family health history information and collect it. How much time do I have?
Another minute.
Okay. So there's several limitations. This was just a cross-sectional study. So family history could have been assessed previously, and it could be that the doc already knew that walking into the room. However, because of the high turnover rate, it's fairly unlikely that this doc saw this patient. And also, I did a sort of a random sample of charts to see whether there was a family history collection tool in these charts, and there was no systematic collection tool documented in these charts around family history. Another limitation was that we didn't have data on type of visit, and that could have been impacting some of our differences in timing. And then obviously generalizability. This is one clinic in downtown Detroit, and it may not generalize outside of that context, but it is very representative of kind of the low-income urban primary care setting in general. And I want to acknowledge my collaborators on this project, particularly Deb Bowen and at Boston University and Wiley Burke, and then Karmanos Cancer Institute and the Center for Communication and Behavioral Oncology, which provided me with the tapes from Dr. Penner's study and really gave me some training in conducting this type of an investigation. And my funders, Robert Wood Johnson Health and Society Scholars Program and the R21 that funded the larger videotape project. Thank you.